I got to be honest with you, this sermon a day was a struggle for me to write, and I'm not exactly sure, but I tend to be lighthearted and kind of I'm pretty positive, optimistic, and yet this is a dark passage. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I think I was struggling against that. I think I was struggling too against just our notion of evil and temptation today in our society. We usually think of evil like the devil dressed up in red tights and having a pitchfork, kind of looking like the ASU mascot. So we kind of make light of it, maybe. Or as C.S. Lewis says, there's two ways we can err when we deal with evil and temptation. One is to dismiss it and to see, a devil in red suit and a pitchfork, almost a comic figure. The other is to obsess about it. And I have met Christians who obsess about evil and see it under every rock, And so somehow there's a balance of seeing the reality of what we're going to talk about today, but then also not being overcome by it. So that, and also it's the fourth sermon I've preached in a row, and I always get tired by about the fourth one. But we'll get through it today. So let me read the text, and we'll end with the petition that we're going to look at today. So this is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 14. Remember, Jesus is responding to a question that the disciples posed to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so he says, this then is how you should pray. And here's a model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray together. God, we pray that you would teach us today and speak to us through these words of this great prayer. These words encourage us and also challenge us, comfort and disturb. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So once again, as we take a look at this petition, we realize that Jesus focuses this prayer on really the essentials of what it means to live the life that he has called us to live. He doesn't get distracted by peripheral issues, but really chooses his words carefully and focuses on what's really important. Now remember, this is a model prayer, and it's so interesting. It's a model prayer, and it's really short, isn't it? And to the point. And I also want to say again, no big fancy theological words that you learn in seminary that are of no use. But just simple language. And I think this is great. I mean, when I pray, I try not to use big theological words because I want to model that praying is just expressing what we feel. It doesn't have to be fancy. And as I said before, we're all amateurs, I think, when it comes to prayer. So the last few weeks, we've looked at petitions and what Jesus has taught us to ask for. And here they are. First, providence. Give us what we need. Give us our daily bread. Give us the essentials to survive. Second is pardon. We looked at this last week. Powerful. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, help us to experience the freedom of forgiveness that God so wants for us to be experiencing in our lives, to not get weighed down with guilt and shame. Not good. God wants us to be free. This is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the good news that there is forgiveness central to Christian belief. And then help us to freely, as we're filled with this love and forgiveness, help us to extend that same kind of forgiveness to those who violate us in some way. And so again, we can be free of bitterness and anger that can, you know, really kill us if we let it have too big a hold in our lives. And now we come to the third petition here, protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just as we know that we need daily bread to survive and forgiveness to thrive, so we need protection from giving in to temptation and also from the evil forces which are present in the world. Let's take a look at these two things. Temptation first. You know, it's a universal feeling that we all have, isn't it? That we will be tempted to do what we know is wrong. Or we can also be tempted not to do what we know is right, perhaps remaining silent when we know an injustice is being done. So feeling temptation is really part of being human. And it goes back to the beginning of time. I love the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, the third chapter of Genesis. You know, God, here we are in paradise. And God told Adam, Adam, here's the one thing you can't do. You know, there are all these beautiful trees in my garden. But Adam, don't eat from the one in the middle. Leave that one alone. Don't touch it. And so then the serpent comes to Eve and said, did God really? He's described as being very crafty, by the way. Did God really say to you? Am I giving kind of a good serpent little talk? Thanks, Don, that's good. Did God really say to you? Not to eat from any tree in the garden? Eve replied, well, God said that we may eat from any tree in the garden except the one right in the middle. He said if we eat from it, we will die. You will not die, the serpent replied. For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God and you will know good and evil. Now, folks, here's kind of the root of all temptation and sin. Do you see what the serpent is really saying to Eve? You can't trust God. God's trying to rip you off. He's trying to withhold something good from you. See, that's it. It's kind of the basis of it all, right? I remember when I was a youth pastor, I used to teach this on a fairly regular basis because I think one of the things teenagers struggle with is if they live the life that Christ wants them to live, they're going to miss out. And that was before FOMA. Fear of missing out for the of you. There it is. You can't trust God. God doesn't have good things for you. He's going to withhold something. You know, this kind of goes back to the second sermon in the series when we looked at thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember, we pray that. Not building our own little kingdom and just obeying our own will and doing what we want, but putting God's will ahead of our own. And it's a struggle sometimes. We see something that looks so attractive, and we've all experienced this. Wow, sometimes temptation is just kind of a slight urge, and you know, sometimes it is powerful. Is it not? Paul the Apostle gave a great description of this inner struggle of some people say it's two dogs fighting, you know, inside of us. And he wrote, you know, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. So even Paul, the great Saint Paul, wrestled with temptation. So it's important to know that temptation itself is not a sin. You know, important to know that feeling these urges or being tempted to do something, that's not a sin. It's how we respond to it that may lead to sin, which sometimes, folks, can really wreak havoc on our lives. You know, I've canceled people in my office whose lives are just torn apart, shambles, because of some kind of temptation, whether it's not feeling justified that you're getting paid enough, so you work the books a little bit to get a little more money, or, you know, simple flirtation that leads to touch, that leads to more touch, that leads to full-blown affair that just wrecks your life and your family and your respect in the community, all of it. Man, it's real. And you know what's interesting about it? It's usually not one big step that you take that is destructive all at once, but many small steps that eventually lead to destruction. Remember when I preached on the parable of the lost sheep and the good shepherd that goes and leaves 99 sheep to find this one lost sheep? Remember how the sheep often get lost? They nibble on one little piece of grass, and then they move to another and nibble, and then another one, and another one, and pretty soon they wake up and they look around and they realize, wow, I am so lost. That's how it usually happens. Just little steps. So Jesus knows the power of temptation. I mean, it says in Hebrew, he was tempted in every way, but never sinned. But he knows the power of temptation, and he knows the destructiveness of sin, and so he teaches us to pray this, lead us not into temptation. And then he teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil, or some translations say, deliver us from the evil one. You know, this is one of the themes, great themes of the Bible, is this battle going on in the world, really cosmically, between good and the forces of good and the forces of evil. You know, it's so interesting. Every major religion in the world has this belief that there's some kind of battle. And we see this in great literature, don't we? I mean, so many pieces of great literature, whether it's The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, Lord of the Flies, A Wrinkle in Time, East of Eden. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It is this battle between good and evil. And we see it in movies. Greatest example, wow, is Star Wars, right? Yeah, I remember watching Darth Vader and Luke, and I'm thinking, wow, here it is. Battle between good and evil. Or Wizard of Oz. Just about any Disney movie is about the battle of good versus evil, isn't it? So whether you believe in as evil as a personal devil, as the scriptures often describe it, or, you know, these big forces at work in the world, man, it's evident, isn't it, that there's a battle going on Paul describes this battle in Ephesians 6. He says, finally, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Wow, you know, like, as I was working on this yesterday, I thought, wow, on a beautiful day like this, wasn't yesterday just gorgeous? A beautiful day like this in Piedmont, California? Where's evil? Well, it's here. There are times when you can almost feel it. And I know that's very subjective, but I've felt like I've felt the power of evil before these spiritual forces that are determined to destroy all that is good. You know, when I walked through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, powerful experience, and came to the end, man, I was overcome with a sense of evil. See what happened to these people. When I watch scenes of bombs, really, today, pounding neighborhoods, whether it be in Ukraine or in Gaza, killing innocent children, you can't help but believe that there's some kind of force of darkness, don't you think? Or when I studied the institution of American slavery in college and read about just the horrors of slavery, how families were broken up and people were hauled away and stored in ships to make the transatlantic passage like animals. Oh, the horror of evil just shook me to my core. Horrible. And I'm sure that when one walks through the killing fields in Cambodia, the forces of darkness are real, are they not? Or even when a pharmaceutical company advertises and promotes drugs with the hope that they will lead people to addiction, destroying lives, all for the purpose of profit? That's evil, don't you think? There's a battle. Here is something important to remember about this prayer. Like we've seen throughout this prayer, this petition can apply to individuals like we've looked at today, but Jesus has emphasized throughout the prayer, our and us, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, whole communities, societies, nations can yield to temptation and the powers of evil. So Jesus tells us, pray, deliver us from evil. Now, like I said, this is all pretty dark, so I want to leave us with some good news this morning. We have a God, and you got to know this, who is much more powerful than any evil. In fact, Christ, this is what Easter is all about. The cosmic struggle. And Christ defeated sin and death and evil on the cross. That's why on Easter, we should really celebrate. The victory's been won. Remember I told you about the already but not yet a couple sermons ago? The already, it is done. Evil has been defeated, but not yet. We haven't realized the fullness of it. We're living in the already but not yet time. You know, I have a friend who's a pastor who has a great illustration of this. You know, they had something at the church going on while there was a playoff game with the 49ers. And so they taped the game, and nobody said anything. And then they went to watch it, and somehow driving over to watch this game and have this party, he listened to the radio and found out that the Niners won. So he knew the end. He knew the result. And so they're watching the 49er game, and these people, it's a tight game, close game. All these 49er fans are having, you know, strokes because it's so close, and he's just kicking back. Oh, it'll be all right. I know the end. I know who wins. Because of that, I can chill. I can relax. Someday, we will experience it in all its fullness, and there will be peace. And like I said, no more war, and no more darkness and evil. Until then, this is the good thing. We have a God who will lead us. In fact, you could say that this is really what we should emphasize in this petition. And I almost went this way with this sermon to avoid all this darkness stuff. To emphasize, God will lead us. Sometimes people ask the question about this petition, why do we have to ask God to not lead us into temptation? Does God lead us into temptation? James, in the book of James, it says, no one is tested and should say, God is tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And in Psalm 23, our beloved psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. God is like our shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness or right relationship for his name's sake. God will lead us. Now, here's something you need to know about biblical interpretation. You know, in the original manuscripts, we don't have commas, we don't have verse numbers, we don't have headings like, you know, Jesus heals a paralytic over the passage or any of those things. It's just text. What if we were to insert a comma after lead us? So instead of saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we would say, and lead us, comma, long pause, and lead us, and lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God will lead us. Now, we have freedom to say yes or no, but he will lead us, and when we say yes, we close the gap between what is and what is meant to be. And we contribute to winning the battle of good versus evil. You know, when we fight against injustice or racism or sexism or poverty, we participate in the fight. When we show kindness and love our neighbors, even in very simple, small ways, you know what? We push back the darkness. And when we acknowledge God and who God is by praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or as we're going to look at next week, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever and ever. Amen. We help defeat the power of evil. Amen. God, we thank you for this text today. And Lord, we pray that we would be aware of the evil in this world and fight against it, but also be very confident that the victory has been won, and that one day we will share in the fruits of that victory in all their fullness. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and take the